Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The New Case for Gold by James Rickards revisits gold not as a relic of the past, but as a strategic asset for a world shaped by financial fragility, policy experimentation, and geopolitical tension. Rickards, known for writing about systemic risk and monetary disorder, argues that investors misunderstand gold when they judge it only by recent price moves or compare it to yield-producing assets. Instead, he frames gold as a form of money and insurance whose value becomes most visible when confidence in paper claims erodes. The book connects central bank behavior, currency dynamics, and crisis planning to the practical question of how individuals can protect purchasing power. Rather than presenting gold as a get-rich-quick trade, it is positioned as a long-term hedge against outcomes that mainstream models often dismiss: deflationary shocks, inflation surprises, banking stress, and loss of trust in institutions. The result is a macro-informed guide to why gold still matters now. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, gold is money, not a commodity trade. A central idea in the book is that gold is best understood as money that sits outside the credit system. When investors treat it like copper or oil, they expect supply-demand charts and industrial use cases to explain price. Rickards instead emphasizes gold's monetary role across history and its continuing relevance in a world where currencies are ultimately backed by confidence and policy credibility. This perspective changes the evaluation framework. The point is not whether gold produces cash flow, but whether it can preserve purchasing power when other assets depend on counterparties, leverage, or political decisions. He ties this view to the structure of the global monetary system, where the dollar remains dominant but is supported by large debt levels and active central bank intervention. In that setting, gold becomes a neutral reserve asset that does not rely on a promise to pay. The topic also highlights why gold can behave differently from typical risk assets during stress, sometimes rising when liquidity disappears and trust weakens. This framing prepares the reader to see gold allocation as strategic positioning rather than tactical speculation. Secondly, central banks, currency wars, and the case for reserves. Rickards is well known for discussing currency conflict and the weaponization of finance, and this book connects those themes to gold demand. Central banks influence not only interest rates, but also the value of money itself through quantitative easing, balance sheet expansion, and emergency facilities. When major economies compete for growth through weaker exchange rates, savers and investors face a less visible tax, currency depreciation, and negative real returns. In that environment, gold functions as a reserve that is not issued by any government and cannot be printed to meet political objectives. The book also points to the significance of official sector behavior, including the role of central bank gold holdings and the incentives for nations to diversify reserves away from reliance on a single currency system. This topic is not a prediction of immediate collapse, but an argument that the structure of incentives makes monetary instability recurring. Readers are guided to interpret policy shifts, debt monetization fears, and international tensions as factors that can raise the value of monetary hedges. The underlying message is that gold can complement other reserves because it addresses risks that bonds and cash cannot. Thirdly, systemic risk and why financial insurance matters. Another major topic is systemic risk, the kind that emerges from interconnected balance sheets, leverage, and confidence-sensitive funding markets. Rickards argues that many portfolios are built on the assumption that markets will remain orderly, correlations will behave, and policymakers will always stabilize outcomes. Yet crises often arrive through channels that traditional diversification does not cover: banking stress, liquidity freezes, sudden repricing of credit, or political shocks that change settlement and custody assumptions. In these moments, assets that depend on functioning intermediaries can fail to provide protection, not because they go to zero, but because access, pricing, or convertibility becomes constrained. Gold is presented as a form of financial insurance precisely because it is not someone else's liability. The emphasis is also psychological and behavioral. Insurance is bought before the fire, not during it. This topic highlights practical thinking about scenario planning rather than point forecasts, encouraging readers to define the risks they cannot afford and then build resilience. The value proposition is less about timing the gold market and more about limiting catastrophic outcomes that can permanently impair wealth. Fourthly, how gold can perform in inflation, deflation, and policy extremes. The book addresses a common objection: gold is often marketed as an inflation hedge, yet it can move in ways that confuse investors when inflation is low or when prices fall. Rickards expands the argument by discussing multiple regimes, including deflationary recessions, disinflation, inflation surges, and policy responses that create negative real yields. The key is that gold tends to respond to real interest rates, confidence in central banking, and the perceived stability of the monetary system, not only to consumer price readings. In deflationary stress, for example, the initial scramble for liquidity can pressure many assets, but extraordinary policy responses can later support gold if markets expect currency debasement or extended financial repression. Conversely, in inflationary periods, gold can serve as a store of value when cash and bonds lose purchasing power. This topic encourages readers to think in terms of second-order effects, what governments and central banks do when growth stalls, debt burdens rise, or markets break. By focusing on policy extremes, the book positions gold as a hedge against the tails of the distribution where standard asset allocation assumptions can be most fragile. Lastly, practical allocation, sizing, forms of ownership, and common mistakes. Beyond macro theory, the book speaks to implementation. The practical question is not whether gold is good or bad, but how an investor can hold it in a way that matches their goals and constraints. Rickards emphasizes disciplined allocation rather than all-in bets, treating gold as a strategic sleeve designed to offset specific risks in the rest of the portfolio. The discussion distinguishes between different ways to gain exposure, such as physical bullion, allocated storage, and financial instruments, and it highlights the trade-offs that matter in a crisis, counterparty risk, liquidity, custody, and the ability to convert holdings when markets are stressed. This topic also covers behavioral pitfalls, including buying only after a dramatic price move, expecting gold to act like a growth asset, or abandoning a hedge because it is boring during calm periods. Readers are encouraged to think about time horizon, storage, and transaction costs, and how gold interacts with equities, bonds, and cash. The practical takeaway is a framework for owning gold intentionally, with clarity about what problem it is meant to solve and what it cannot do. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a macro-level explanation of gold that goes beyond simple inflation talk, including long-term investors, risk managers, and anyone uneasy about debt levels, central bank activism, or geopolitical stress. It can benefit the reader's life by sharpening how they think about money and risk. Instead of chasing returns alone, they learn to identify vulnerabilities in their financial plan and use hedges to reduce the chance of irreversible loss. The value is also psychological. A well-designed gold allocation can reduce the urge to make panic decisions during market turmoil because it is built to perform when confidence is weakest. Compared with many similar books that treat gold as a speculative trade or a one-size-fits-all ideology, Rickard's approach is structured around scenarios, incentives, and portfolio function. He connects history and policy to actionable choices about reserves and ownership methods, helping readers separate marketing narratives from risk-based reasoning. For buyers, the book is worth it if they want a coherent case for gold as insurance and monetary protection, framed in plain investment terms rather than hype. If you would like to support James Rickards, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.